Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday evening. Hello, Cheryl. And I believe before you, Donna. Hello, Donna. Yep, she's still in the room. And I think Lynn is following me, if I'm not confused about the schedule. Yep, Lynn is following me. So it's like a line of my friends here. So we are here now for Holy Spirit Guides. Oh, and Teddy Poppy follows Lynn. It is. It's just my friends marching one after another. Donna, Cheryl, me, Lynn, Teddy. That's kind of funny. Okay, we're here for Holy Spirit Guides. This is the period of time when we are looking at the messages that Holy Spirit has given me, the personal messages to be helpful to me. And of course, right now, specifically, we're looking at the messages that were given to Laurent and I when we were together. And right now we're looking at a message from December 5th, 2007. It's a message called The Decision to Be the Holy Spirit. And I have a link from reginadonacres.com for those of you that are in the room. If you're not in the room and you're listening, you can go to Regina Dawn Acres and search for The Decision to Be the Holy Spirit, or you could just use the there's a little drop down arrow which allows you to select the month that you want to read from. You could select December 2007 and then scroll to the bottom of that month's blog, and you'll find the decision to be the Holy Spirit, because it was the very first post from December 2007. What I would like to do, if y'all would join me before we begin looking at the message, is say a prayer. So I ask you to join me. Thanks. Holy Spirit, what I feel to pray for now is openness. Complete, complete openness. Like a clear blue sky. So that we can receive whatever sunshine you would give us now. Let us raise our faces and close our eyes and be willing to receive as you shine on us. Let us be open, completely open, to hear whatever you would have us hear, and to receive it either without resistance or with acknowledgement of our resistance, but with a willingness to go beyond our resistance. We surrender to you, Holy Spirit, or we desire to surrender to you, Holy Spirit, because it is our desire to know ourself as we are. We truly no longer want to be fooled or deluded. We want to let go of all concepts that are untrue. So let us be open. Let us listen. Let us receive. Thank you. And amen. All right. I didn't pay attention to who was in the room when I posted the link before the prayer, but here's the link again. Hold on, I'm gonna put some chapstick on. My mouth feels a little dry. All right. And what I'm going to do is begin reading the message. It's Holy Spirit, there is no question. Here we go. The decision to be the Holy Spirit is the decision to let go of the personality. And again, if you've been following the messages that were given to Regina and Laurent during this period of time, I think there have really been three primary themes. One primary theme has been to will for more and more awareness, to be grateful for awareness when we realize it, and to be grateful to ourselves when we remember to will for awareness. So one theme has been awareness, increased awareness, increasing awareness. Another theme has been, it's really been what I'm going to call the opposite of lack. It's been knowing that the knowing is within us, even though we may not always consciously know the answers, knowing that the knowing is within us. And there's been a theme of, you know, basically stop going to Holy Spirit as if you lack this information and you have to get it from an other, right? Know that the knowing is within you, right? And then the third theme has been let go of personality. So these are the three themes that we see a lot of teaching on in these last couple of months in these messages. And so you can see that the Holy Spirit is beginning this with one of those three major themes. Again, the decision to be the Holy Spirit is the decision to let go of personality. The decision to be the Holy Spirit is the decision to walk in the world but be only of mind. And the word mind here does not mean the thinking mind or the human mind. The word mind here would be more equivalent to awareness. That type of mind. The mind that is aware. So the decision to be the Holy Spirit is the decision to walk in the world but be only of mind. The decision to be the Holy Spirit is the decision to be only that which is helpful to awakening, and to decide to let anything else, anything that is not helpful, go. You know, I heard Cheryl, before I came in the room, Cheryl was teaching from a message that is in the Teachings of Inner Ramana. Many of you have the book, The Teachings of Inner Ramana, and so you are familiar with it. And if you are, you know that the last messages in the Teachings of Inner Ramana have to do with abiding, right? Moving into abiding. This is really a very similar message from Holy Spirit. The decision to be the Holy Spirit, to be the Holy Spirit, would be the decision to abide. Or as Jesus puts it in A Course in Miracles, it would be the decision to listen to only one voice. And if we're going to listen to only one voice, or if we're going to abide as, literally, be the Holy Spirit, then we also have to be willing to let go of everything else that is not that. Right? So if I'm going to be the Holy Spirit, I cannot hold a grievance against any of you, no matter what you do. You know, that's the funny thing. No matter what you do. Because I think we all know enough about Holy Spirit to know that Holy Spirit does not hold grievances, period. There's not a line that can be crossed where Holy Spirit will say, oh, okay, you now I'm holding a grievance. You crossed the line, right? There's no line that can be crossed. And so if I am going to be the Holy Spirit, I need to be willing to be the Holy Spirit. I need to be willing to be only that thought of love, and to be only that manifestation of love. And if a thought should show up in my mind to have a grievance, right? A thought should show up on my mind, a judgment, you know, something that says a grievance, you know, is justified here. These are thoughts I need to be willing to let go. So this is kind of what I call where the rubber meets the road message. You know, another term that people sometimes use is it's non-compromising. Non-compromising. You know, and Spirit is really saying that we can do this. We wouldn't receive the message if we couldn't. Yeah, no wiggle room. This is a no wiggle room message. We wouldn't receive this message if we couldn't do this. So I think that probably if we aren't doing this, if we are still believing grievances, for example, believing that certain grievances are justified, it's probably worthwhile to look at that and just say, you know, why? Why am I doing this? Would I really, do I really want to hold a grievance more than I want to be the Holy Spirit? What is it that I want the most? If we want to be the Holy Spirit, if we realize that we want to be that the most, then we may find additional willingness to go ahead and let go of the grievance, no matter what the grievance is. So again, the first paragraph, the decision to be the Holy Spirit is the decision to let go of the personality. Well, again, very much like the teachings of the Inner Ramana. I don't think the word personality is used in the teachings of Inner Ramana, but the word I thought is. And what is the I thought but the basis of the personality, right? You know, if I think of myself as Regina completely, and I just believe myself to be her. Oh, Regina comes with a host of preferences, a host of opinions, beliefs. And if I take all of that and say, this is who I am, well, then at some point I am going to be offended by someone or something. Or I'm going to hear something that I strongly disagree with, because that's just the way the personality is. One thing that I do actively, I've actually done it for some years, but it still continues, is I notice in conversations when the mind, the personality, has an opinion about anything, you know. And I do my best when I notice the opinion just simply not to state it. Sometimes I fail at this. But I think as time goes on, I'm failing. And by the way, when I say fail, I don't say that with any sense of guilt. I can say it without a sense of guilt. But I think as time goes on and I continue this practice, I literally fail less and less. So if I'm in a conversation and people are talking about something, could be something in the news, you know, could be an interpretation of the Course, you know, and I notice that the thoughts that are rising in my mind are an opinion, or as N.T.I. Luke calls it, an interpretation, then I choose not to state it. I choose not to enter into the conversation, because to state my opinion or to share my interpretation is to strengthen the personality, and to strengthen the personality is not to be Holy Spirit. So to be Holy Spirit, I have to be willing to let go of the personality, which includes her opinions on topics, her interpretation of events. It doesn't mean I won't see them, but I just don't buy into them, join with them when I see them, right? And so I sit there silent, you know, in the conversation, probably with a smile on my face, but silent. And I just let them pass on by. And, you know, Laurent has written, beware of not sharing my opinions out of judgment of them. Yeah, I'm not talking about judgment of them. I'm literally talking about just noticing that they're nothing but the personality, and that's not really what I am, and I don't want to continue to play that role. You know, it might be helpful to think of the personality as a role, right? As a role, like you know, in an actor, a character, a character has, if you were to design a believable character, your character would have opinions. Your character might be, you know, in the United States, Republican or Democrat, for example. Or your character might be, someone who loves all kinds of people, or your character might be someone with prejudices or biases. Your character would have opinions. And so when I see opinions, I notice they're a part of the character. And you see, I don't want to continue to believe I'm the character, and it doesn't make sense to me to continue acting like the character if my role is to let go of believing I am the character. It makes a lot more sense when I see a thought come up and I say, oh, that's a part of how the character would think. That's the opinion the character would have on this topic. And out of not wanting to be the character anymore, or out of wanting to be the Holy Spirit, I choose not to buy into the opinion or the interpretation enough to even state it. You know, you have to buy into it to a certain amount to let it pass your lips. And I just choose not to buy into it that much. So it's not a judgment, like I think the opinion is bad, I shouldn't have had the thought. It's a choice to let go of belief that I am that personality, and therefore to stop playing the role, to stop saying what she would say in this particular conversation. So the decision to be the Holy Spirit is the decision to let go of the personality. The decision to be the Holy Spirit is the decision to walk in the world but be only of mind. And like I said, that's awareness mind, not thinking mind. Be only of awareness, right? The decision to be the Holy Spirit is a decision to be only that which is helpful to awakening. Only that which is helpful to awakening. That's like listening to only one voice. And to decide to let anything else would of course be the other voice, ego, and to decide to let anything else, anything that is not helpful, go. The decision to be the Holy Spirit is the decision to let go of the personality. This is the second time this is stated in this message. It was the first sentence in the first paragraph, and it's the first sentence in the second paragraph. Notice how we can't be both. I can't hold on to being Regina. I can't hold on to her opinions, her preferences, her interpretations, and be the Holy Spirit too. The decision to be the Holy Spirit is the decision to let go of the personality. This decision is not magical. It is only a recognition of who you are and what you want. I think that the reason the Holy Spirit said this decision is not magical is because sometimes we have a tendency to wait as if someday we're going to wake up and the desire to be the personality will just be gone completely. And maybe for some people it actually happens this way. Like they just wake up one day and the desire to be the personality is gone completely. I mean, it just disappeared. But it seems to me like whatever Holy Spirit puts in front of us is what is right for us for awakening. So if Holy Spirit is putting in front of me the suggestion that I make the decision to let go of being the personality, then my way is that path of decision. And for me to procrastinate on the decision by waiting for a magical day when all resistance is gone, for example, or all desire to be Regina is gone, is for me not to follow my path or my guidance. You know, we're told in A Course in Miracles that the Holy Spirit will lead each one of us very specifically. And at least right now, what we are looking at is clearly if there's one thing we can say about what we're looking at right now, is this is guidance that was given to me. I would also like to extend that guidance to Laurent, because I feel that the messages were given to him and me. But most directly, I have to say it was given to me. How could I deny that? It was most definitely, most clearly given to me. So it seems like what Holy Spirit is telling me is that my guidance is to begin making this decision. And if there's a voice in me saying, you don't have to make the decision, it's just going to happen someday. You don't have to do it. That somehow is a procrastination thought for me. Spirit is saying somehow to me that decision is a part of my path. And so my guidance is to start making this decision to the best of my ability. So it's not a magical decision, but he is telling me where the decision comes from. He's giving me what I would call help in making the decision, because sometimes the resistance can be very strong. And so what he's saying is that the willingness to make the decision comes from recognizing what I am and what I want. How do you recognize what you are? Well, I think probably, at least for me, and I've heard this teaching from more than just me, the best way to recognize what I am is first by recognizing what I'm not. You know, so the thought crosses my mind, I'm a woman. No, that's not what I am, you know. I'm a body. No, that's not what I am. I am a temporary life form. No, that's not what I am. And kind of by negating all of the ways that ego would define me, by negating all of the ways that the mind would define me, I'm kind of left with something that can't really be stated, but that's what I am. And when I have even any sense of what I am to any degree, then I also know automatically that I want that sense fully. And that I don't want anything at all that's going to block me from knowing what I am. So that realization of what I am and what I want, which is to know myself fully, that's the power that leads me to make the decision. Because that's the power that leads me to let go of everything that's in the way of knowing myself fully. Which includes the personality and its opinions, right? Its interpretations. Its preferences. So the decision to be the Holy Spirit is the decision to let go of the personality. The decision is not magical, at least for you, Regina. It's not the path I'm leading you on, this magical path. You're being led on the path of decision, making decisions along the way. The decision is not magical. It is only a recognition of who you are and what you want. Who are you? You are love. Love is a word that has communicated to me a sense of knowing that I can't quite describe, but I can describe where I got it from. Many of you know that one of the very first spiritual books I read that really had an impact on me was Peace Pilgrim, Her Life and Works in Her Own Words. And throughout this book, Peace Pilgrim seems to demonstrate what I would call love. But love is not an emotion like, oh, I love you. Love is I'm going to call it a living power or living force that has an honest effect in the universe. And by honest effect, I mean it returns people to their true self or their true harmony. It has an honest effect. It has the effect of not leading us into dishonesty or into false ideas about what we are and what the world is, but has the effect of leading us into honesty about what we are and what the world is. That's what love is. It's this power that has an honest effect in the universe. That's love to me. I guess I did just define it. And for me, Peace Pilgrim demonstrated love. And so what Spirit is saying when he says, who are you? You are love. He's telling me that what I really am, you know, is this power that has an honest effect. I'm not the false effect, nor am I that which seems to make the false effect. I am this power that can only have an honest effect. The power that can only see truth and therefore can only affect truth. That's what I am. So who are you? You are love. What is it that you want? You desire only to know yourself, which also means that you do not want to think yourself to be that which you are not. So I only want to know myself as this honest cause, the power that can only make an honest effect, which we call love. And I do not want to think of myself as anything else. And in fact, you could say that would be dishonest. It seems like somebody once told me, and I don't know where she got this from, but she told me that Jesus said, and I don't know where Jesus said this, what book, but she said that Jesus said, if I tell a story about myself, I have just told a lie about myself. This is the kind of thing that I'm still practicing, but getting better and better through practice, just like you do when you practice something. I'm getting better and better through practice at not believing I'm the personality by letting go, for example, of the temptation to, you know, tell stories about myself. Because to tell a story about myself is to tell a lie about myself. And like I said, I'm not perfect at this. But there are more and more and more times where I'll find in me the thought to join into a conversation by telling a certain story, by sharing a particular opinion, right? And I choose not to, because I don't want to tell a lie about myself. I don't want to be a lie. I want to come to know myself as this honest power that only has honest effect, which means it only knows of truth and only causes truth. Only truth can be the effect of it. That's to know myself with a capital S. So what is it that you want? You desire only to know yourself, which also means that you do not want to think yourself to be that which you are not. Next paragraph. Thinking is your greatest obstacle to knowing, because thinking is an obstacle that thinks it is knowing. This is like saying the personality is the greatest obstacle to knowing yourself because you think you are the personality. Okay, totally different words, but boy, is that not a synopsis of the teachings of Inner Ramana? Right? Inner Ramana says that the greatest obstacle to knowing ourself is the I thought, our attachment to the I thought specifically. Our attachment to the I thought. And he says, complete detachment is realization of self. And he leads us to let go of the mind, our attachment to the mind, which would also be the same as letting go of thinking. I mean, literally, what am I doing if I'm, looking at any one of you here and thinking, I wonder what he or she thinks of me and what I'm saying, or what I said last time we were together, or what I posted in Facebook, right? I mean, that's only thinking. You know, certainly a lot of people in the world would say, that's nothing. You're just thinking. Don't be so hard on yourself, Gina. I'm not really being hard on myself. I really don't beat myself up. I really don't judge myself. But I'm attempting to be consistent within myself. If I catch myself thinking, if I see the thoughts arising in me about what do you think of me, or what do you think of what I said or did or posted, I let go of that. I do not continue that train of thought. Why? Because inherent in that train of thought is the belief that I am Regina. Inherent in that train of thought, I mean, I really am telling myself a story about myself. So if we go with those words that are attributed to Jesus, I'm sitting here lying to myself about who I am. And I don't see how that is helpful if my purpose is to awaken to my true self. I don't see how it's helpful to continue to lie to myself about who I am through the thinking that goes on in the mind. It seems counterproductive. So when those thoughts enter my mind, I wonder what people thought about that post. I wonder what they think of me because I did that way instead of this way. As soon as I see those thoughts rising in me, I choose, out of what I call true desire to know thyself, to let them go. So thinking, this is what we need to watch, because this is where most of our storytelling goes on. Some of our storytelling goes on in conversation, and we want to watch that. We're not required to be social. We're allowed to be quiet around the table. You know, if quiet is what we need to be in order to keep from telling these stories over and over again. But actually, the majority of the storytelling does not happen in social situations. The vast majority of the storytelling goes on in our thinking. So beyond learning to be quiet around the dinner table and not sharing false opinions or false ideas which reinforce the idea that I'm the personality, I want to learn to be quiet in my mind. So I'm not walking around telling myself stories all day that are reinforcing the idea that I am the personality. This is, to me, the greatest challenge. And this is why, at least for me, it requires great commitment and great desire. I think Jesus called it in the Course great effort and willingness. He said it took great effort and willingness to learn to listen to only one voice. It looks like his path was also the path of decision. Deciding what he wanted and then choosing to be that. Being vigilant about it. So thinking is your greatest obstacle to knowing, because thinking is an obstacle that thinks it is knowing. That is like saying the personality is the greatest obstacle to knowing yourself, because you think you are the personality. As long as you choose the obstacles, you choose to block the truth. If you are ready to know only the truth, you must also be willing to say goodbye to the obstacles. So, I mean, this is what we've been talking about. So if my mind starts to tell a story, I say goodbye to the story. To continue to choose to let my mind tell me these stories is to continue to choose the obstacles. And like I said, to me, that seems counterproductive. How can that be helpful? Goodbye, story. Okay, now, Holy Spirit continues. This is a readiness you are acquiring. And it is growing in you each day. There is a fear in the mind about letting go, because the mind tells itself that it does not know where it will fall when it lets go. But if you look carefully within your heart, within your knowing, you do know where you will fall. You will fall into yourself, which is not falling at all. You will just be, and you will be in joy and confidence and knowing. I think the greatest way in my experience, and you know, we do have slightly different ego stories probably. I mean, I'm imagining, so sometimes my story isn't a complete fit with yours. But I think the way in my story, this resistance, this fear of where I would fall showed up, it appeared to be in a very practical way. It appeared to be practical, probably because my personality was practical, right? And this was trying to hold on to the personality. But the fear of where I would fall was if I didn't think about what I needed to, if I didn't think about my needs, and if I didn't take at least some action to ensure my needs were satisfied, well, then they wouldn't be, and I wouldn't get what I needed. I mean, that's really fear of where you fall. That's what that means. If I didn't spend some time and effort, you know, thinking, okay, I need this. You know, like for example, this time I was in relationship with Laurent, so I need this from Laurent, you know, and I need to make sure he knows I need this, and I need to make sure he knows it's important, and I need to make sure he's willing to give that to me, right? If I don't spend some time and effort, you know, in this thinking process, and then, you know, in the following through with what I decide, something's going to happen. I'm not going to get what I need from him, right? So I'm going to, where am I going to fall? You know, how's that going to look? But Spirit is pointing out that even though this appears practical, and in fact, many people would sit around the table with me and agree, yep, if you need that from Laurent, you need to voice that so that he knows, you know. He knows that you need that, and he will, you know, hopefully give that to you. And if not, you know, dump him. You know, many people would be willing to sit around the table and converse with me that way, right? But what Spirit is pointing out is that this is a complete error. In fact, it's clear. I mean, if we look at it, it's clear that that's just holding on to the belief that I am the character, right? That I am the personality. It, the character has it written into her that she needs certain things in a relationship. Spirit doesn't have that. Do I want to be the character that needs these certain things from her partner, Laurent? Or do I want to be Spirit? And you see, if I'm willing to let go of these things I think I need, I mean, there may be a bit of panic. And some of the panic, the way it plays out for me is, geez, I'm not going to get it. It's going to hurt. I'm not going to be happy. I'm not going to be able to be satisfied on a day-to-day basis. You know, I'm going to be frustrated. You know, all these thoughts, those thoughts just have to be let go too. And Spirit is saying that if I am willing to let go, there may be a feeling of falling at first, you know, a period of uncertainty. Jesus calls it a period of disorientation, you know, because there's still this belief, this thought, I need these things, and now I'm not asking for them, and I don't know what's going to happen when I'm not asking for what I need. But Spirit is saying, if I just go ahead and allow that seeming falling, what I fall into is myself, capital S. Yeah, Adele is saying, die to the story of separate self. Exactly. So again, this is a readiness you are acquiring. Spirit is telling me I am ready to start doing this. This is a readiness you are acquiring, and it is growing in you each day. There is a fear in the mind about letting go, because the mind tells itself that it does not know where it will fall when it lets go. But if you look carefully within your heart, within your knowing, you do know where you will fall. you will fall into yourself, which is not falling at all. You will just be, and you will be in joy and confidence and knowing. There is nothing to fear in choosing to be yourself. Look carefully now at all the fears that are rattling through the mind. Notice how little those fears are to you and how much they do not matter when you compare them to the vision of you being as the knowledge of you, as the knowledge of self. So what kind of things could I have wanted from Laurent? Well, I remember wanting him to mow the lawn. You remember that, Laurent? Wanting him to do dishes, to be a little cleaner around the house, to spend a little less money, you know, to be a little more frugal. These are things I thought I needed, right? Okay, good. Cliff wrote them out for us. So let's look at the list. Okay, let's all look at the list. So, I need Laurent to mow the lawn, to do the dishes, to clean up around the house, to spend less money, or be a little more frugal. These things seemed very important to me, to the personality. We're not, you know, I'm not joking here. Laurent can tell you I'm not joking. He knows who the Regina was. He knows what Regina wanted. I wanted these things from Laurent. Now let's look at them. And then let's look at the option of fully realizing, knowing myself, being myself. In the language of this message, being Holy Spirit. Let's look at these two lists. Being fully myself with all of the knowledge in the moment that self has, or having the lawn mowed by Laurent. Right? Which do I really value more? Where is my treasure? I'm reminded of Jesus in the Bible. Is my treasure in heaven, or is my treasure on earth? And what do I really want more? Do I want Laurent to mow the lawn, or do I want to know myself? Do I want Laurent to do the dishes, or do I want to know myself? What do I want? Do I want Laurent to clean, or do I want to know myself? And the big one, I mean the very big one, is the last one. Do I want Laurent to be more frugal, spend less money, or do I want to know myself? And I will be honest with you, because I don't like to lie to you, at this time, I would have to sit quietly and really get in touch with my true desire in order to answer, I want to know myself more. There were times when the ego was agitated and it seemed like, gosh, if Laurent would just spend less money or if he would just mow the lawn, then I could be happy. And the reason I'm telling you that is because if that's true for me, then it's probably true for some of you or all of you. That sometimes, if the ego is really active in the mind, there are times that you think you want these things in the world more. Like, what I really want is for him to do this, or her to do that, or this to be different. So sometimes I had to sit and be still and get with myself, get with my true desire, and then I knew. Now the funny thing is, I could feel the difference between the two. Right? When I was thinking that what I really wanted was for Laurent to spend less money. Well, in fact, even listen to the words. I was thinking that what I really wanted was for Laurent to spend less money. But when I got still and got within myself, I knew that what I wanted was to know myself fully. You see, one was thinking and one was knowing. Thinking was an obstacle to the knowing. If I gave my attention to the thinking could keep me from realizing my knowing. But if I got still, which means I put the thinking aside, right, then I knew. I knew what I wanted. Thinking is an obstacle to knowing. We heard that earlier in this message. But knowing is more real, and when you're in touch with your knowing, you know it. It isn't transient, it isn't temporary. There's a trueness to it, an honesty to it. So Holy Spirit says, there is nothing to fear in choosing to be yourself. Look carefully now at all the fears that are rattling through the mind, right? Which in my case, I just couldn't be happy unless these little things were done my way. Done my way. Look carefully now at all of the fears that are rattling through the mind. Notice how little those fears are to you and how much they do not matter when you compare them to the vision of you being as the knowledge of you. Look. Notice. Feel for the heart. You can see he's given me guidance. He is giving me guidance to get in touch with myself. He's not guiding me to listen to my thinking, right? He's guiding me to go deeper, right? Look, notice, feel for your heart. What's your heart really saying here? Is your heart saying, above all else, I want Laurent to mow the lawn? Is your heart even saying, above all else, I want Laurent to be more frugal? I may have at the head level thought that, but I can honestly tell you at the heart level, I never felt that. I never felt at the heart level, when in touch with the heart, above all else, I want Laurent to be more frugal. In fact, at the heart level, do you know what I would say? Above all else, I want Laurent to be exactly as he is, and for me to see him with the eyes of love. That's the heart level. The heart level didn't want Laurent to change at all. The heart level wanted to love Laurent perfectly, no matter how Laurent decided to act or what he decided to say or what thoughts he chose to believe. The heart wanted to love perfectly and not have that love be contingent on anything that Laurent could do or think. And the way that I could love that completely, the only way that I could love that completely would be to be love itself. Right? The power that only has honest effects or true effects. So look, notice, feel for your heart. Don't answer the questions too quickly. Go beyond thinking to knowing. What does your knowing say? What do you really want? Holy Spirit continues, through this simple practice, you notice, and therefore you teach, that you are more ready to let go of the unimportant than your fears would have you believe. Notice what he calls these things, right? Mowing the lawn. Where'd that list go? Mowing the lawn, doing the dishes, cleaning up, being more frugal. The unimportant. He calls them the unimportant. That's because he is at the heart level. That's the only place he can be, Holy Spirit, Jesus, Ramana. Through this simple practice, you notice, and therefore you teach. Because if you notice it, if you really notice it, then you start acting from that noticing. If you're acting from that noticing, then you are demonstrating. And if you are demonstrating, then you are teaching, right? So through this simple practice of getting in touch with your heart, listening to your heart instead of your thinking, through this simple practice, you notice and therefore teach that you are more ready to let go of the unimportant than your fears would have you believe. And you know what happens is that you start being able to not listen to the fears. They may still be present. You know, the fears may still tell you. They may still, you know, say in whatever way they say, you know, you just can't be happy, you know, unless he's more frugal. You just can't be happy unless he cleans up more around the house. But if you do this practice of getting in touch with your heart, you know more and more and more. That's not true. It's not true. Because you are in touch with your heart then. You become a walking in touch with your heart. A walking in touch with your heart. That's what you become. A walking in touch with your heart is abiding or being the Holy Spirit. And when you are a walking in touch with your heart, those thoughts can buzz by, those thoughts can say what they have to say, but since you're not thinking, you're knowing, you know the thoughts aren't true. You know they're a lie about you, right? It's a lie about you. You cannot be happy unless he picks up more around the house. That's a lie about you. It's not true. And you know that because you're a walking in touch with your heart. So through this simple practice, you notice, and therefore you teach, that you are more ready to let go of the unimportant than your fears would have you believe. Teach yourself that you are ready by looking carefully and noticing this is true. I love this because Spirit's saying, take the time to confirm this within yourself, right? You don't even have to listen to me, Spirit is saying. This doesn't require faith or trust. You don't have to have faith that you want to know yourself more than you want the dishes done. You don't have to trust me when I say that you want to know yourself, be yourself more than you want Laurent to be frugal. Take the time to look and you're going to find within yourself, you can confirm within yourself that this is true. I'm talking about knowing, not faith, not trust, knowing. Spirit saying, go look, go look. Take time. Go look. What do you really want? All right, that is the end of that message. And we have 7 minutes left, which means I will not begin the bus analogy message. I just won't, not with 7 minutes left. And by the way, Laurent, are you here? Yes, he's still here. I will not be here next Sunday night, Laurent. Are you available and would you like to teach the bus analogy? Sure. Okay, yay. It's a good message and it's one that I know Laurent loved. So Laurent will teach the bus analogy next week. And then I'll be back the following week, which is great because the following week is really a message that was given really for me. You like having the body to blame. So that's good that I will be back for that one. So right now we have 6 minutes left. So let's see what I can do with 6 minutes. You know, there's a CD I'd love to play if I knew where it is. It's about Ramana Maharshi. Hold on one second. We have Elvis Presley. We have the Titanic. We have Scott Kalickstein. Here it is. Peter McKenna. Yeah, that's what I want. Peter McKenna. Peter McKenna's song number 8 is what I want right now. It's a great song. A little bit long, but we have a little bit of time. Let's see. It's 6 minutes and 49 seconds, so I may have to stop it 49 seconds early. We'll see. It's called Forever Here, and it's a song about Ramana Maharshi. So why don't we end up by listening to this? Here we go.
Oh,
turn that down because that's kind of it for the song. But that was Peter McKenna, by the way. The name of the CD is In Love, and you can find it at www.openskymusic.com. And I do see a request for a Jamie update. Jamie is perfectly healthy, back to normal. Everything is fine. All right, Lynn, here's the mic. Oh, Dove first, it looks like. Yeah, a lab report. Okay, here you go, Dove. Good night, everyone.